relationship, good time with that. Spring Cedars Baptist Camp in Genoa, and they had a good time of fellowship, and glad some of the ladies here at church could go. I even heard that there was a zip line involved, and I was surprised at the people who went on that zip line. I'm not going to name any names, but you can talk to the ladies and find that out for yourself. But they had a great time, and I would have loved to have seen everybody ride on that zip line. But Acts chapter 20, we are going to finish up Acts chapter 20 this morning. And whether we realize it or not, the section of scripture that I read this morning kind of goes along with this part of Acts chapter 20. Down here in verse 35, Paul explains to them that in all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That is not a section in scripture that you can find Jesus actually saying that, but over and over within the Gospels you hear that message of Christ saying, help those people who are in need, help the weak, help the poor as part of the church, as a part of the body of Christ, that we're to do that. And so we're going to pick up Acts chapter 20. And last week we went through the first 16 verses of Acts chapter 20. And we saw there that Paul had a passion for the church. We see this over and over and over again, and actually you'll still see that this morning, that passion that Paul has for the church comes out in what he speaks to the elders of Ephesus about. But we have been going through a series here in the book of Acts. We know that the book of Acts is a transition from being the gospel being primarily to the Gentile community or to the Jewish community, to transitioning to the gospel being to the Gentile community, in other words, everybody else. And so we see that at the very end of Acts chapter 28, verse 28, it says, therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. They will listen. And that's kind of Paul's little last statement on this idea of this transition, that it's not just for the Jews, but it's also going out to the Gentiles in this world. And so this morning, we're looking at entrusted with the church. If you're not an elder this morning here at the church, you might think, well, how is this message going to relate to me? The truths that are mentioned here in Acts chapter 20 are very, very applicable to anyone, regardless of whether they are an elder in the church or not. And so, as we look into this and dive into this, let's open up with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for what you have provided for us here. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us this opportunity to be able to read your word, to study your word, and to think about the things that your word has to say. We've been going through the book of Acts, and we've seen the lives of many here in the book of Acts. And toward the end of the book of Acts, Lord, we see how you've highlighted the ministry of Paul. And we just thank you for what Paul has done in the life of the church. And in this passage of Scripture, Lord, you help us to understand that passion that he has had. And we thank you for what you've provided for us in Christ, and that salvation that you have brought us, that salvation that Paul proclaims all throughout the book of Acts. We thank you for that. We ask, Lord, that you will strengthen and encourage us in this place. So we have looked at Paul's passion for the church in the last two verses in chapter 20. just want to read those, and it will kind of surmise some of this. But the last two verses here in Acts chapter 20, it says, verse 36, it says, "And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all, and there was much weeping on the part of all. They embraced Paul and kissed him, being sorrowful most of all because of the words he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship." And so Paul had a passion for the church, and that was shown in the response of the elders of Ephesus that had come to listen kind of to his farewell speech, his goodbye. And we see how they were weeping, and they embraced him, and they were sad that Paul was leaving. Paul had not had that impact on them, had not had that passion for the church. It'd be more like, good riddance, glad to get you out of here, move on in life. But he had a passion for them. He enjoyed their fellowship, he enjoyed his time with them. Paul spent 3 years in Ephesus, ministering to them and working with them. And so he had invested a good portion of his time with these folks in Ephesus. And so Paul's passion and love for the church is seen here in the response of the elders at the church in Ephesus. Here in this part of Scripture, Paul is not in Ephesus. Paul has been trying to make his way to Jerusalem, and in the process of doing this, he is also bringing a collection that had been gathered, and he's trying to bring that to the church in Jerusalem. And why is that? Because Paul still has a passion for that church in Jerusalem. And so these elders were sad that Paul was leaving. And so we see that it is hard for a church to lose someone who is of such godly influence in their lives. Paul, though, is following the Holy Spirit's leading. He desires to go to Jerusalem. He even has his sights set on Spain. Paul had a passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ. He had a passion to propagate, to proclaim that message to the known world. And so wherever he went, he encouraged the people in the Word of God. He poured his life into theirs. And regardless of his involvement in other churches, he remained passionate for his own people, the Jewish community. And so he's trying to make his way back to Jerusalem. He's trying to make his way back. The reason for that is it's also the time of Pentecost. So he's trying to get back for that day of Pentecost. That was a very special day for the Israelites. And so he wanted to get back for that day. He wanted to bring that collection that he had back to them on that particular day. It would have been kind of like a highlight for them to do that. And so he's making his way back to Jerusalem. And in the midst of all of this, he calls for the elders to come visit him before he gets on the ship to go off across the Mediterranean to see Jerusalem, the folks in Jerusalem. And so Paul now moves forward in his ministry. He is saying goodbye to the elders there in the church of Ephesus. And he had spent, like I said before, 3 years pouring out his life into their lives. So the church meant a lot to him. In the process of all of this, his speech encouraged them to live by example. His speech to these elders encouraged them to be transparent concerning the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And Paul was transparent with them at the cost of proclaiming the message of Jesus Christ. There was a warning to them to be on the lookout for false teachers as they were charged to protect the church spiritually. And so the first thing that we're going to look at this morning is leadership lives by example. Leadership lives by example. So in verse 18, Acts chapter 20, verse 18, it says, "And when they came to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time, from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. As you recall, when Paul would come to any city, he typically went to the synagogue first, or if there wasn't a synagogue, he went to the place of prayer, and he went there to teach and proclaim the message of Jesus Christ. And after a little bit of time of doing that, it was inevitable that the Jewish leaders and the Jewish community would end up plotting against Paul and trying to either hurt him, harm him, kill him, because they did not appreciate his message of Christ. And so in verse 20, it goes on, he says, "How I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks the repentance toward God and of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And now behold, I am going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me. But I do not account, or I do not count my life of any value, nor as precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. And now behold, I know that none of you among whom I have gone about proclaiming the kingdom will see my face again. Therefore, because I won't be seeing you again, I testify to you this day that I am innocent in the blood of all of you. For I did not shrink from declaring to you the whole counsel of God. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all of the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease, night or day, to admonish everyone with tears. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my necessities and to those who were with me. And all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And there was much weeping on the part of all. And they embraced Paul, kissed him, being sorrowful, most of all because of the word he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And so they accompanied him. First thing that we look at this morning in understanding that leadership lives by example is in verse 18. Verse 18, he says, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time." We oftentimes think of presidents and governors and so forth, and that they don't understand the things that are going on locally because they're not living in that community. And so it's important for people that are in leadership to be involved in those communities so they know the things that are going on there. And Paul makes that clear here, that when he first came to Asia, when he first came to Ephesus, he said, "I've lived among you. I lived with you. I wasn't kind of far away trying to govern you. I wasn't far away trying to give you, my words." He said, "I was with you. I was living among you." We're not talking about the Christian community. We're talking about secular community. He lived among them. He worked. He did things. He was involved in the community. See, he understood the importance of community interaction. One thing that when my family moved here, I was thankful that the church has a parsonage, because it can be hard sometimes to find in small communities like this a house that would be big enough for seven people. And so I was thankful that the church had a house here, but better yet, I was thankful of where it was located. I pretty much tell people where our house is. They're like, oh yeah, I know where that house is. It sits right there at the corner. People know that that's our house. And they know that if I live there, that I must also be the pastor of the church down here. So, in a way, when we moved here, we're kind of forced to be involved in the community. We are on the corner house of a somewhat busy intersection. People walk by every day. And so we are forced to interact with people in the community. So I was thankful that we had the house there, that we weren't having to find a house somewhere outside of town, somewhere far away, so to speak, that we were able to live here in the community. We could be involved in the activities of the community, the events, Shell Creek Valley Days, all of these kind of things. We can be involved in these activities, even things that I don't necessarily jump on doing, such as singing at Memorial Day. But those are opportunities for myself, for my family, to get involved in the community. And it is an honor and it's a privilege to do those things. Particularly knowing so, it gets people used to me, gets people used to my family. Matter of fact, I don't know very many people who don't know my family. They know my family better than they know me. But when we are involved in the community, it is easier for me to talk to people, to be able to come to them and talk to them about the things of the Lord. Not that they just know, I'm the pastor of the church. They start to know me personally. And that is very, very important. Paul understood that. Paul said, hey, listen, I came here, I dived right into the middle of the community and started working. The important part of this is that the gospel gets proclaimed. See, the gospel is not going to get proclaimed if I was to live an isolated life. By doing these things, people will hear the gospel, they'll hear the love and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm thankful for the fact that we are involved in the community. And even though this is Paul's charge to the elders there in Ephesus, it is important for all of us as believers to be involved in the community. It gets the message of Christ out there. I mean, that's just the bottom line. If we as Christians were to isolate ourselves and to live in some small little place under this rock, people won't hear about Christ. The message won't be proclaimed. And so the point of this is that Paul understood, get involved, be part of the community. He also told them in verses 18 and 19 that he humbly served the Lord. There he says, you yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews. Paul concerned himself with God's desires more than his own. This is shown in listening into and obeying God. This idea of humility. In our society, humility seems to have an ideal of looking down on oneself. And that is not the concept that is portrayed in Scripture. Humility, and biblical humility, should I say, has the ideal of becoming low in a submissive state. You know, earlier we sang the song, "We Bow Down." We bow down. That is a low, submissive state. That is not just the fact that we actually physically bow down, but in our hearts and our minds, we understand that we need to humble ourselves. We need to make ourselves low, and we submit to the authority of the Lord Jesus. He is the King. And so this ideal of humility isn't just, you know, looking down on myself. In other words, not making big of the things that I do, but submitting myself to who God is, His authority in our lives. So, what does that mean? I'm not saying that humility is becoming poor. Humility is not saying that we need to pass up that promotion or rank, but it's that ideal of being surrendered, emphasizing it's a state of mind. A service is not true service when it is not surrendered service. For example, kids, I'm sorry, I'm going to mention this just a little bit. Yeah, oh no, it's just sideways. Oh no. All right, so I have 5 kids. You know, it's really, really easy for me to ask any one of my 5 kids to do something. Sometimes they do it with excitement. They are happy to do it, especially when it's advantageous for them to do it. But there are times I ask them to do something, and I know they don't like doing it because maybe I did got them, maybe I asked them at a bad time. Maybe they were involved in maybe a game or something like that. Or they were doing something fun. Dad, you just took me away from that fun stuff that I was doing. Being surrendered is saying, hey, listen, I know that this is not fun. Matter of fact, the job, Dad, that you just asked me to do is one that I don't like. I despise it. But I'm going to surrender. I'm going to make myself low, and I'm going to submit. That's humility. Humility in the fact that Dad has asked me to do something. I'm not going to mumble. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to... But I'm going to say, you know, Dad, you asked me to do that. I'm going to do it. Let's go get this done. I have a good attitude about it. That is what Paul is trying to convey here. As you're in service to the Lord, and there's going to be times in your service to the Lord as elders over the church in Ephesus, there's going to be these times that you're going to be in service to the Lord, and it's not going to be this wonderful, glorious thing. My life is example, Paul says. There has been tears, there have been plots against me. It's not all going to be excitement and fun. It's going to be a hard time. I also want us to think of the flip side of this. When somebody does a task with the expectation of being noticed or to brag, I think of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector who came in Luke chapter 18. They came to pray. Both of them go into prayer time, and the Pharisee, he thanks God that he is not like the extortioners, the unjust, the adulterers, or the tax collector. He proceeds to list the things that he does to make himself righteous. Look at me, Lord. Look at what I've done. Look at the things that I've done to make myself righteous in your eyes. The Pharisee not once pleads for the mercy of God or gives God the glory. In contrast, the tax collector, he comes in, he immediately falls to his knees and seeks the mercy of the Lord. Jesus goes on to say, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, will be made low. But the one who makes himself low will be exalted. The Pharisee failed to surrender. He failed to bring himself low. A child who begrudgingly does a task fails to surrender, fails to bring his or herself low. I want us to notice this, church, that these elders had before them a humble servant of the Lord, Paul. His own life showed that example. Paul surrendered to, he brought himself low before the Lord. He listened to, he obeyed the Lord, and not once did he boast about his accomplishments as if it was his own doing. Look, Lord, at what I've done. He never said that. He said, look at what the Lord has done to me. He brought himself low before the Lord. He cried out for the mercy and grace of the Lord, the love of the Lord, and for God to receive the glory. You've got to think that that is actually something that's hard to do when your heart is at, you know, when you're being beaten, when you are being threatened with your life, to submit yourself in such a way to the Lord, that's a hard thing to do. Because everything inside of a person says, no, I'm going to get up and I'm going to run off. I'm going to get away. I don't want to be beaten. I don't want to have my life threatened. I don't want my family to be threatened or any of those things. And so it's easy to pack up and move out instead of submitting and humbling themselves and becoming low. We can all learn from this example. But for this leadership here in the church of Ephesus, this was something that they were going to have to do. This is something they're going to have to make a part of their life. They're going to have to remember, hey, they need to be the ones that live by example. And Paul says, I am your example. Keep following that example. Humble yourselves before the Lord. Faithfully teach the Word of God. Faithfully teach the Word of God. He says, hey, listen, you've lived in the community. That's what you need to do. Keep living in that community. Don't think that you need to be in the place that is of preeminence, because a lot of times, just like we do today, if we start getting a lot of money, we start getting a lot of wealth, oftentimes we want to move to the, quote-unquote, better part of town, so to speak. Back in Chattanooga, Tennessee, if you really got money, if you really moved up in society, there were a few places in town that you moved to. It was either up on the mountains, or there were a few communities that were known for their wealth, so to speak. Be involved in the community. Be involved in the community. Humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord, and then faithfully teach the Word of God, especially the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verses 20 and 21, he says, I did not shrink. I did not shrink from these things. I love how he says that. He says, I did not shrink. And of course, that's a figure of speech. It's there to state the negative of the opposite. In other words, Paul says, I boldly proclaim to you the message of Christ. I didn't shrink back. Whenever troubles came, hard times came, I didn't go over here and scurry over here and say, oh, I better quieten down my message about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I better stop proclaiming God's word so much. And he says, I did not do that. He said, I boldly continue to proclaim the message. Paul was bold in his proclamation of the word, especially the gospel. And he says, there's no difference here in public or private. He said, publicly, you saw me boldly proclaim the message of Christ. Privately, you saw the same message being boldly proclaimed. In other words, I didn't go back here and start telling you something different in secret. I boldly proclaimed the same message in private that I did in public, and vice versa. Important, because back in his days, there were people that were going to come in, those fierce wolves, those people that were within the church were going to rise up, and they were going to start twisting the word of God. And a lot of times what they would say in public would differ than what they would say in private. Come here, let me tell you what really God's word has to say. Paul says, I'm not like that person. The same message that I proclaim to you boldly in public is going to be the same message I proclaim to you privately as well. Not only that, he said, it didn't matter of my audience. He said, Jew or Greek, didn't matter, Jew, Gentile, Greek, whoever it was, the message still applied. The message of repent, have faith in Christ. The message still remains the same. Turn away from unbelief. Turn away from that life, whether it's sinful, whether it's the wrong religion, whether it's neutral, maybe I just don't care about these things. Turn from that life, repent, and have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As often as I do, I say this again this morning, if you are here this morning and you don't know the salvation that Christ has brought, I encourage you to come and talk to me after the service. I'd love to explain that to you and walk you through God's Word concerning that. Paul boldly proclaimed the message of Christ, and Paul tells the people, the elders in Ephesus, you're going to have to remain faithful to the Word of God and proclaim the same message in public that you do in private. Don't shrink from it. And then on top of that, it does not matter if they are Jewish or if they're Greek. The message of Jesus Christ is applicable to everybody. And so Paul uses himself as an example of staying involved in the community. He uses himself as an example of being a humble servant. He uses himself as an example of faithfully teaching the Word of God. And so that first point this morning is that leadership lives by example. I could keep going on, but I'm not this morning. Still got two more points to go, so we're going to finish this up next week. The leadership also submits to the Holy Spirit, and so my challenge to you this week is to continue reading that section of Scripture a few times. You're going to see how he talks about the Holy Spirit, talks about his submission to the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding and directing. And then also, he's going to talk to the elders from the church of Ephesus about the fact that leadership stands guard over the church. They're the overseers. They're the caretakers. They are the ones who are to protect the congregation from fierce wolves who will come in and lead them astray from the message of Christ. And so we'll talk about that next week. But as I said before, faithfully teaching the Word is staying true to the gospel message. And Paul tells us the very simply and succinct thing is it is repentance. In other words, we turn away from that unbelief. We turn away from that life that we have led in unbelief and turn to faith in Christ. That is Paul's simple message. Matter of fact, it is so simple that when the Philippian jailer came and asked him, what must I do to be saved? He just said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. It's just as simple as that. But we see throughout Scripture how Paul has to constantly combat this idea of, well, there's really more to the story. Paul says there's not more to the story. The hope that you find is not anything in and of yourself. The hope that you find is only found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. And Paul emphasizes that over and over and over again. And so this morning, let's remember those things. Let's remember that as we live in this community, that our goal is to present boldly the gospel message of Jesus Christ, to be faithful to that, and to humble ourselves, to bring ourselves low and to submit to not just that message, but submit to the Lord's leading and guiding and directing in those things as well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to look at your Word. Like I said before, we thank you for the life of Paul. Help us to continue to learn and to glean from his life, from the Word that you have recorded for us. I thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Word, that you have given us this message, that you have prompted people like Luke to write the book of Acts, to give us the account of Paul's life. We thank you and we praise you for that. We ask, Lord, that you will strengthen us and encourage us. Help us to understand your Word as we read it, and it may draw us closer to you. We do thank you again for this morning. Time together as fellowship with believers. In Christ we do so. Teams are going to come back up. We're going to finish out this morning with He is Lord. A great proclamation to end the service on is He is Lord. And he is Lord. The song talks about, you know, he is risen from the dead. He is